Was coming around, I'll just take a moment here to say thank you to everybody that's here. You know, sometimes it's a challenge to get to church. And I'm thankful for each one of you that make that effort each Sunday or whenever you can to be here. I just want to publicly say that this morning. So I know it's a challenge for some of us, but I'm thankful for each one here. Come ahead, Brother Thomas.
Certainly echo Brother Clayton's sentiment. It is good to see each of you. And I'll go one step further. It's good to be seen. Would appreciate an interest in your prayers for the time that we're before you. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to some thoughts that we find in the second epistle of John. Second epistle of John. And if you have trouble finding it, it's between 1 John and 3 John. 2 Epistle of John. You know, we've begun to hear some things in our world today that are being told us that all of us no doubt would say if we think about it, and especially those of us that have been here longer than some of you, that we're seeing things happen, we're hearing things being told that we never thought we would hear or see. And one of the things that we are being told today that's kind of puzzling to me is this idea that there's a new normal. I don't understand that there's a new normal. You know what they're trying to tell us is that there's a new truth. All that there is, if there's anything new, it's maybe a new abnormal. It's certainly not a new normal. That being said, what I'd like for you to think about, and I know that you are already on this footing, but you know, we have to be reminded from time to time. I'm reminded of the time that Jesus Christ, of course, was being tried before he was led to his crucifixion. And he appeared before the Sanhedrin. He appeared before before Pilate, he appeared before Herod. He basically appeared in three courts of men during that time. And I think memory serves me correctly, he spent at least two or three times. It was we could call it a revolving door of justice, is what it amounted to. And of course, the main reason that they took him from one authority to another is that they were trying to find some kind of crime to accuse him of that they could make it stick. And of course they finally come up with one. But anyhow, in one of those experiences, the question that Pilate asked has rung its bell for centuries. What is truth? What is truth? You know, to people who are blessed to understand what truth is, that seems like just a rhetorical question. But you know, there are a lot of people in this world today that really struggle with that question. What is truth? A lot of the reason they struggle with that question, of course, is that they're being told on this hand, and then they're told on that hand, you know, that this is true, you know, and this is true. And of course, a lot of times they're being told that truth is It's personal. Whatever you want to define truth as being within, that's your truth. Well, as a minister that's preached a lot of sermons, he's in the presence of the Lord now. He used to say a lot of times, you know, that'd be all right if it wasn't all wrong. Truth is truth. There's only one answer to what truth is. It was Jesus Christ, and there are many scriptures that we could go to, but Jesus Christ really answers the question. He says, I am the way. And he says, I am the truth and the life. Now I want you to think about this. He didn't say, I am the way, truth, and life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now that little word, the, makes a lot of difference. Because he put that word in front of each one of those to let it be understood that the definition of way, truth, and life is not just whatever you want it to be. It's this or it isn't, or it isn't. Anything else, whatever the way is, that's what it is. Whatever the truth is, that's what it is. And whatever the life is, that's what it is. We don't have the authority. We've never been given the authority, nor the right, nor the privilege of plugging in what we want it to be. Of course, we know that, you know, God is truth. The Bible tells us that God is truth. He defines truth. He always has, and he always will. Our responsibility is in trying to understand that truth, and first of all, to admit that what God says is the truth. We may not like it. It may not fit our lifestyle. It may condemn us. But we don't have the right or authority to change the truth. You know, that's. I guess that comes with being born. You know, as we're children and we began to deal with truth from our parents, you know, as pretty soon as a little one begins to be able to reason, one of the first things that they'll try is to redefine their parents' truth. I told you. Oh, I thought you told me. No, I told you. You know, no. Well, I thought you said this. No, I said this. Of course, it's a trick that's as ancient as the Garden of Eden, where Satan, of course, tried to redefine a truth. Well, all of that, you know, there's certainly a whole lot more of that that could be said. But with that being said, here in John's epistle, and see, in 2 John, he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love. Now, he could have stopped right there, and he'd had a complete thought, you know, we understand, John, what you're talking about. That, you know, the elect lady and her children, I believe he's talking to the church. And he says to the church, he says, I love you. I love the church. We all, you know, can say that. We love God's church. We love the elect lady, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John said more than that, didn't he? He said to the elder and to the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, we talk about a lot of times that which binds us together in our churches here at Piney Grove Church. We have a bond here. The bonds even have a bond here. We all have a bond. The fellowship that's given us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's that bond of love that God blesses us to have in that fellowship. It's something we can feel. It's not always necessarily something that we can put our hands on, unless we define hugs and embraces that way. But there's more to it than that. There's the bond of fellowship. There's the bond of love. There's the bond of truth. This church has been blessed to stand all these years. A lot of men, women, and children have labored a lot of hours here, not only in the physical sense for the upkeep of the grounds and the building, but also for fellowship and also for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I hope that we understand, and I believe that you do, that if this church continues on into the future, that that'll be the reason that she continues into the future. You know, I would admonish all of us, from the oldest of us that may be great or great-great-grandparents, all the way down to parents, of course, that we take it seriously, the responsibility that we have to bring children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and to do that for the truth's sake. You know, truth is not something that we just absorb because it floats around in the air. Truth is not something that you get in a tanning booth. You know, you don't just go and they can put tan and put some kind of tanning powder on you and you absorb truth. Truth, of course, first of all, the truth of God is here, period. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to live by it or not, you know, God is true. The Son of God is true. The Spirit is truth. That's just the way it is. But more than that, when you're born of the Spirit of God, you're born of the truth of God. And that truth is within you. It's within your heart. It's within your soul and your spirit. That's the reason that the Bible teaches us that from time to time, when we do wrong, you know, we don't have to wait for our parents to tell us that we've done wrong. We don't have to wait for the preacher to tell us, but our conscience tells us. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, witnesseth with our spirit. Of course, the Bible tells us whereby we're made to cry, Abba, Father. But from time to time, that Spirit, the Spirit of God, witnesses with our spirit, and we don't cry, Abba, Father, in the hallelujah sense. We cry, Abba, Father, in the sense, Lord, I have sinned in your sight, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. That's because of truth. Truth convicts us. Okay? So he says, whom I love in the truth. That's what will keep Piney Grove Church on the right track. That's what will attract God's people who are searching to serve God in spirit and in truth. You know, we need to be like a magnet, you know, drawing truth, those who are seeking truth, so that when they come and they hear the truth, and they not only hear the truth preached from the pulpit, but they hear it spoken of by those of you that are in the pews, and most importantly, when they see it displayed in our lives as we try to serve God. Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. For the truth's sake. The truth's sake, not for granddaddy's sake, or for mother's sake, or for the pastor's sake. but for the truth's sake. That's what, you know, sometimes people live two lives. That's when people they fear, they live one way when people they fear are watching them, and they live another way when those people they fear are not watching them. We should live as if the people we fear are always watching us. And of course, our greatest fear and respect should be of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. You know, we can deny the truth, even as children of God, but we can't make it go away. Denying it won't make it go away. Denying it won't make it anything. You know, just because you deny the truth, does it make the truth go away? Does it make it any less the truth? Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The Bible teaches us, as we've already said, see, as John reiterates here, that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of the Father in truth and love. You know, he's not only talking about in the sense that God was his Father, the man Jesus Christ. God was the Father of the man Jesus Christ, but that he was the bearer of truth. Jesus Christ teaches us in John's Gospel that, you know, as his Father was the truth and bore witness of the truth, bears witness of the truth, he said, I also bear witness of the truth. I can't do any other. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. You know, sometimes Satan wants to play with our thoughts and in our minds and in the minds of people, and kind of leaves this little idea that somehow truth and love, you know, if you have one, you can't have the other. You know, if you're going to follow the truth, well, then you're not going to love anything. And then there are others say, well, if it's all about love, well, then you just throw truth out the door. Well, again, that's a lie of Satan. Because the truth of God, which is the real truth, anything else is a lie. And love, they come from the same source. So they've got to be compatible one with another. God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love. The Bible tells us that God is truth. And if God is love and truth, then love and truth has got to be compatible. And we don't have to, you know, we don't have to believe Satan's lie that, you know, the only way that we're going, you know, Solomon says that there's nothing better for a man than that he should love life. Nothing wrong with loving this life, with loving the life that God gives you. The problem that we experience in that is how we love this life. He goes on to say, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. That's not how I want to say that. Truth is something that we can share with one another. John, whoever the elect lady and her children were, he says, I rejoice greatly that thy children walk in truth. He didn't say it just does my heart good. You know, we like to say that. So, you know, it just does my heart good when I see so and so. John said, I rejoiced. That's a term we use, you know, whenever we talk about praising the Lord. That's a synonymous term with praise. You know, I praise the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. You know, I give thanks to God that when I see your children walking in truth. fact, he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Well, that tells us, of course, John adding and recognizing that the truth that they're walking in is they're doing so because of the commandment of the Father. And he continues, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Our nature can deceive us a lot. And one of the things that it deceives us is that, you know, it's no fun walking in God's commandments. You know, why? Where's all the fun in that? Well, there may not be any fun, but there's a lot of rejoicing. There's a lot of rejoicing. And in closing, doesn't the scriptures, of course, say that the way that we show our love to God is by keeping his commandments. Not just by knowing them, but by keeping his commandments. May the Lord add his blessings to my prayer.